Welcome to 2022, the year of our Lord, free basketball. I would say it's a new year for us, but we are in the middle of the NBA season. I am your host, Ryan Meadows, coming off the Christmas holiday where everyone that I know, including me, was sick. So if I still sound terrible, I apologize. That's why we missed last week. That's why Daniel had to take over. Cody is not with us tonight, but I do have Daniel. So, Daniel, you survived your one-on-one takeover with Grizz 901 and pre-basketball. Are you happy to have a co-host again, or would you prefer where you were just talking to yourself?
I'd much rather have a co-host, because that ish is for the birds. The whole solo pod stuff, get out of here with that.
Yeah, I greatly missed not being able to do it with you last week because of the Christmas Day games. I still might throw in this episode my audio from that Christmas Day games, because I had actually prepared for that. I sat and watched them all. I hope you and your family also had a good holiday. But I do want to, for the start of a kickoff to 2022, I'm not going to do any kind of like New Year's resolutions. We've done stuff like that in the past. But I just want to talk about just some stuff that's going on with the NBA that kind of stands out as we get in. We start getting into, you know, we're starting to hear a lot of rumors about trade season. We're getting on towards All-Star weekend. So teams are starting to rev up. This is usually when, for me anyways, Christmas Day is kind of the marker where the real season starts. You know, first 2 months, it's fun to see who comes out hot out the gate. Now it kind of, teams are getting kind of, they're getting ready to make a run, either to make the playoffs or they're trying to stay, you know, in the playoff picture. Is there any teams that for you through this first couple weeks, or maybe the last week, that has been consistent to you all season? Like, is there teams that have had breaks? Like some teams that haven't been in this big health and safety protocol, no injuries. Like, who's a consistent team to you that you think has benefited from what has been going on so far in the NBA season?
Well, I'd say the Bulls and the Suns. If there's any teams that have benefited, is because, you know, those two, for the most part, have not been hit with COVID issues at all. And another one that is close to home is Memphis as well. And they're starting to finally get hit with COVID. They have now, I think it's 7 players out with COVID. But because the front office is so good, man, they're so deep, which allows them to hopefully skirt past this without, you know, much, you know, blemishes. But they're coming, you know, that have a rough part of their schedule upcoming. So they're about to be really, really screwed.
Did you say the Chicago Bulls were not really affected by COVID?
I didn't think so. From my understanding, I don't remember seeing many of their players out. Am I just blind?
Well, hey, maybe that we shouldn't say it's COVID, because everything has been labeled as health and safety protocols.
Right.
But yeah, the Bulls had a lot of players out for a couple weeks, it felt like, with health and safety protocols. So they're just kind of getting everybody back. I don't even think they have everyone back still. And they have moved into the top of the Eastern Conference at a 24-10 record. DeMar DeRozan with 2 back-to-back game winners.
Yeah.
So they've been consistent, even though they've had the health and safety protocol, the variants. But top of the East, and DeMar DeRozan has been amazing. I know you've loved him from your betting and stuff like that, which you could probably talk about a little bit. But are the Bulls kind of a more fortunate team to be here? Because that's how I kind of feel about them right now.
Get out of here with that. So, yeah, so maybe they have hit 2 walk-off shots, right? Whatever. That's fine. That's what happens in the NBA, because they're all professionals. But if you want to go ahead and take a bet straight to the bank, go ahead and hit DeMar DeRozan 20-plus points and the Bulls to win. Because, honestly, it's not a guarantee, because nothing is. But they're 24-10. Out of the 20, I think it's 22 games that he's played, I want to say he's 20-22 hitting that number. And it might be higher than that now, because I can't remember if that last Wizards game was part of that number or not. But that's a surefire bet that I love. But that doesn't mean that they've been helped out with this. They're a good team. And I look back at some of their stuff while you're talking, and I don't see many of players out, like a big number of their big players out during that time. So maybe they got hit with COVID early and they've, you know, kind of bounced back in their in the last 10 games. They haven't got hit really hard, but yeah, I don't see a lot of their players missing. So maybe COVID's been nice to them. I don't know. You seem to think otherwise, but realistically, I just think they're a really solid team. And I believe that now after seeing these other teams, I think they're going to win a series no matter what place they're in the Eastern Conference.
Ooh, that is a bold statement because they're the team that I'm now they're starting to get healthy. And I feel like they're still missing people. Like maybe Patrick Williams is the guy that sticks out to me. I know that was kind of at the beginning of the season, like the very beginning, but they are on a 7-game win streak. Two of those, you know, those game winners by DeMar. Yeah, I know. I'm saying, but like maybe that's what keeps sticking in my mind is thinking of guys who are injured. You know, he's out for the season, but for some reason he just sticks in my mind. Maybe that's what it is. But this is just this, like there's a number one seed in the East, and I still have a hard time wrapping my head around it and seeing it as something sustainable. Maybe for the regular season, yes. I'm curious about the playoffs. We probably have said that before. So I kind of want to keep at bay the thoughts I have about them until we actually get to playoff time, because I am interested in seeing it. They are a lot of fun. No one ever thought DeMar and LaVine, you know, mixed with Vucevic and Lonzo Ball would be 24-10 right now. I don't think anybody foresaw that, but it is a great story. Another story is the Milwaukee Bucks repeat NBA or trying to repeat NBA champions. 25-13, I think they're on a 5 or 6 game win streak. I mean, they got Boogie Cousins off the trash heap and have to play him because of Brook Lopez being out for an extended period of time. But they are a team that is surging right now. If this is how it was for a playoff first round or second round matchup with the way the teams are right now, would you still go with the Bulls over the Bucks, or would you go with the reigning NBA champion?
Oh, I would go easily the Bucks. Like the Bucks are one of the favorites to win the East. And I would say I would have Brooklyn there as, you know, and right behind them, Milwaukee. And after Milwaukee, I would have the odds on favorite Chicago. And that puts them over Miami, over Philadelphia, over Cleveland. So yes, I do think that Chicago is good, but at the end of the day, Milwaukee and Giannis, who is by far playing the best basketball right now, and he should be, and he is, as I talked about earlier, he was not put in the top. He was at the, I think, fifth in the Kia MVP ratings on ESPN. And now they have him first, as they should. And Chris Paul out of the top five, as they should. So now, finally, I think he's getting the praise, but also the Milwaukee Bucks should be an odds on favorite along with Brooklyn to win the championship, or at least win the East.
Yeah, I'm glad you said Brooklyn, because I'm actually, I know Brooklyn has had a rough start to the season with KD going out, health and safety protocols, you know, Harden coming in chubby, kind of rounding into shape now, had that awesome triple-double domination on Christmas Day against the Lakers. But they're still my team to beat in the East is the Brooklyn Nets. And I know all this news coming out about Kyrie Irving going to be part-time and all this kind of stuff, because they just need the bodies, really. And if you're going to choose a, you know, between a G League player or giving Kyrie Irving that part-time spot that you said you weren't going to do, I think I might cave a little bit and pick Kyrie Irving to take that spot over some guy who was eighth man for the Mad Ants and wherever they play. So they still without Kyrie. Joe Harris has been basically not been there for a long time. Patty Mills has been a revelation for this team. And to me, even though it looks beat down right now, LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin, what are they going to do really if they run up to a physical, you know, post presence in a 7-game series? But to me, the team to beat out of the East, and I have not given up on, is the Brooklyn Nets. Yeah. Is that how you feel about the Nets as well, or are you more kind of a wait and see?
Honestly, the Nets are in the same, I guess, conversation as the Milwaukee Bucks. And for the simple fact that Giannis is on the Bucks and KD is on the Nets. I love James Harden, Kyrie Irving. Who knows what we're getting with that? Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday. I love those, I guess those role, not role players, the number two, the number three on their teams. Okay. They're still great players, but at the end of the day, those teams have Giannis and KD. I still believe KD, and when it comes to, you know, push comes to shove, KD will be the best player on the court. And because of that, I give the Nets the edge. But realistically, those two could battle and it could be a toss up. It might go to seven games because they're so good. And their teams are actually really good. The bench on, and they're getting, you know, healthier with DiVincenzo coming back with Milwaukee. So I believe that they will battle it out. And I think they'll both be there in the East in the end.
That's, I guess I'm done talking about Eastern teams. I'm sure over the next few weeks, you know, getting back to full health, getting back on a normal schedule, we'll get more deep dive about stuff, specifics. But I do want to talk about a couple Western teams we're going to get out of here. I probably should say at the top, we're not going to take forever here tonight. I'll probably go back to bed after this. This is like, I feel like Rocky in, you know, Rocky II, just kind of stumbling around, getting through it. So the voice projection hopefully is like, hopefully it doesn't sound terrible, but hopefully, you know, it feels courageous. I don't know. But anyways, the Western Conference, I do want to talk about a game that happened Saturday night, which got a lot of buzz. And that was the Utah Jazz and the Golden State Warriors game, which the Warriors won 123-116. I believe they were without Draymond. I guess I should have checked that before I looked at that. Yeah, without Draymond. 123-116. These are the two teams that have been 1-2 in my power rankings all season. And people be like, whoa, 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 the Suns. What about the Suns? Sorry, my power rankings, Golden State Warriors are number one and the Jazz are number two. And there's actually some space starting to grow between two and three, between the Jazz and the Suns. For me personally, I might actually ask you about how you feel about that later, but right now I want to talk about the game because everyone's overblown that the Warriors beat the Jazz without the Warriors beat the Jazz without Draymond. Here's Rudy Gobert again, can't play in these small ball lineups. You know, the Warriors outshot him, and that is true. Shot 53.5% from the game, 53% from three. While vice versa, the Jazz shot 43.5% from the field, 31.9% from three. Do you buy into that narrative with that one game, that small sample size, that this is the same old Jazz? When we get into the playoffs, this is what's going to happen, because that's what I saw continuously, is that, look, here we are once again. We're going to get to the playoffs. Jazz are going to be a great regular season team and blow people out by 15 on average. But we get to the playoffs, Rudy Gobert is going to get played off the floor. Are you drawing those assumptions from that one game, or do you, without Draymond, or do you think it's just the shooting situation for that game and you actually think that we should wipe that away?
So, yeah, I think it's, in the end of the day, it is going to be more about Rudy Gobert not being able to play with teams that spread it out. And if Rudy can't be a dominant offensive player, then you're going to see that happen more often, because there's no reason, if you can rebound and keep him out, you know, from, you know, the pick and roll, if you have someone who can adjust to the pick and roll and someone who can kind of bite down and keep him from, you know, hitting that easy lob dunk, then yes, I think he'll easily be play off the floor. I don't know how many teams can actually do that though. And that's really where it comes down to. But if you're able to do that, then easily playing him off the floor. What it came down with this game is the Utah Jazz shot 31.8% from 3-point. They just did not shoot well. When the Jazz don't shoot well from deep, and they haven't as of late, they just haven't. They've kind of fallen down a little bit where they're shooting under the 38%, which is really, if they're shooting 38 to 40% or higher, then they're probably going to win because they shoot so many 3-point shots. But when they're not shooting well, that's when they lose. And if you look at this, you know, really it's the Warriors shot 53% from the field, and they even took six less shots overall. And then they also shot 53% from the 3-point line. So they shot well. Utah did not. So at the end of the day, I think that's really what it comes down to. I think it's less of Rudy in that game and more about their shooting percentages.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think that's, I mean, the other thing that you could kind of key in is that the Warriors had 39 assists, which is just an incredible number. But the thing, I'm very interested to go back and rewatch this, because I did record it to watch it deeper, as you know, because this could be a potential Western Conference final matchup, at least second round matchup, maybe. What I'm starting to notice with the Jazz is that they really only have about seven players. And past that seven, I don't know what else. And I know Whiteside was not in this game, and he was out, and some people were saying, well, if they had Whiteside, they would have won. And I know Iguodala hit a clutch three at the end to kind of give him the margin, and it was close. I think to draw conclusions about the Jazz just from this matchup without Draymond is false, because I do think the Jazz are a better team this year, and that's probably because of their continuity. But there is a little question mark that I have about that bench. And if Donovan Mitchell has some sort of injury, who are they really going to go to? I mean, Rudy Gay's coming back from that injury, but he hasn't played a whole lot, and he's still trying to fit in. Is Whiteside really the answer behind Gobert? These are the kind of questions that I don't know if we're ever going to get really solved until the actual playoffs. So the Jazz will continue to be a really good team during the regular season, and it truly is going to be about the playoffs. So I know we've said situational stuff before with Rudy Gobert, but I don't know. There's something about the Jazz this year that just kind of feels like it feels different to me, even though I've kind of slammed them in probably more recent podcasts of they're going to struggle. But just watching them a bunch back, you know, over this week, watching a bunch of the recordings I have, it just feels like there's something different about them, that they are truly all locked in. Not to say they weren't locked in before, but it feels like a dire situation. So I don't know if that's a strength heading into the rest of the year to feel dire, because then you can play kind of tight, especially getting into the playoffs. But I don't know. The Jazz still kind of perplexing, but I still think they're the second best team in the NBA right now. Is that crazy to think that the Jazz are the second best team in the NBA?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. So I don't think that they're the second best team in the NBA. I would still take the Suns over them easily, actually, because there's no way that they are that good to be the second best team. I think that they're good, don't get me wrong, but if they do have any, you know, issues at all, they will not be a solid team. Without Donovan Mitchell, there is no playmaker on that team. And that's really where it comes down to. Mike Conley, I love him, but he is not a playmaker, especially now that, as he's getting older, he's definitely not. So I could definitely see that this team will struggle if they lost, Donovan Mitchell. But even with him, it is an eight-man, team, because I still do like Rudy Gay. He's playing 20 minutes a night. And he has had a few good games back-to-back the last few games until tonight. He's putting in his 7 or 8 points a game. But they have Joe Ingles as well on the bench and another Jordan Clarkson. So they can bring in, and that's a good eight-man unit. But we're halfway through the season, and they're playing eight-man units. And I know they're out due to probably COVID protocols or injury. I'm not sure with Whiteside. But there are some players in the team that are okay, that they could play 9, maybe 10 players. But still, with those 8 players, they're going to be pretty decent, pretty good, especially having home games. But being the second best team, no, there's no way. I would take the Suns over them. And honestly, I would probably take the Grizzlies over them, just because I don't like the Jazz really right now. Just because they have to shoot well, which they have. They have to really shoot well to win the games. And that's beyond the 3-point line.
That's interesting, because you would think they would want to play some of those other guys on the, on the fringe of the rotation, just to get to see what it looks like, right? Like, yeah, these guys that are on the free, like Trent Forrest and other players like that, need to get minutes, because you cannot plan for a surprise, right? And if you have a surprise in the playoffs and all of a sudden Trent Forrest is playing 15 minutes for you in the playoff, and he hasn't been in that situation all year, then how do you know what you can do, what's sustainable? So I do think that, yes, probably the second best team in the league objectively probably feels overblown. And I think it's mainly because of it's truly an eight-man rotation, like you said, and they're just plugging away with those eight guys. And other teams like the Grizzlies, the Warriors, they're playing 10 to 12 and they're seeing what they can get out people in certain situations. And maybe it's not intentional because of the health and safety protocols that every team has seemed to gone through, at least in some part this season, but it is helpful to see who can actually stick into that lineup when you need them in certain situations. So the Jazz just haven't really done that at all. So maybe that's the thing that keeps me from going crazy about them. Like, this is their year, you know, this is finally it for them. But talking about the Memphis Grizzlies, 4-6 right now in the West, Memphis at 23-14, Denver Nuggets at 18-16, the Los Angeles Clippers at 19-18. Would you have believed that would be the 4-5-6 coming into this season, knowing what we know now about what the Grizzlies went through without Ja, Jokic losing, Michael Porter Jr. not having Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon seems to always have kind of a nagging injury. Will Barton is hit or miss. Monte Morris has been out recently. And the Clippers without Paul George for a large stint of this, Reggie Jackson, you know, does this 4-5-6 make any sense at all to you from what we expected coming into the year?
No, not at all. And if you look at, you know, the teams that are right under them, and that's, you know, Dallas, the Lakers, I'll just use those two because Minnesota, Sacramento have, you know, I think they're either, you know, super hot or super cold. You know, they're so inconsistent. And then Portland's having their own issues, you know, that they've had the whole year. But Dallas has really not had much issues throughout the season, and they just got hit with having Luka out. And what that shows me is that with no Luka, Dallas just not, they're not good at all. And the Lakers, there's something wrong. And I know that they have, you know, to some, the best player of all time with LeBron James. I just, there's something that he has to do so much for that team to win. And it's very glaring. And I don't know what they're going to do in a shakeup, but I think they have potential to potentially make some trades to be good. But I never would have imagined that Memphis and Denver and the Clippers, by now knowing what they've kind of gone through with having Ja out, Jamal Murray was been out for, you know, the whole season, and then the Clippers, they were without Kawhi, and now they've been without Paul George. Those teams just show that they're built well, and they actually have some good players that are keeping them afloat. And that's regular season stuff, right? So I don't want to put too much on it because if in the end of the day, when it came down to a 5 or a 7-game series, I do believe that the teams above them could take them out. And I would even say that Dallas and Lakers will be very tough against those three teams. And that's Memphis included because they do have superstars on their team. And so I believe in these three teams that they're good teams, but I also know that that's regular season stuff though too. If Denver doesn't get Jamal Murray back, they're going to be in a lot of trouble in the first round of the playoffs. The Clippers, if they don't have Paul George, they would be in a lot of trouble as well. With Paul George, they have a fighting chance to beat anybody. And then Memphis, it really just depends on what Ja does and depends on what the rotational players really, you know, 3 through 8, what do they do? Do they continue to step up? Are they too young? Or, you know, the moment's too big. So they have a young team, so really they could go either way, or they could shock a lot of people or not. But it is very glaring to see those three teams in that position, especially Memphis, who is now in the 4th spot, 2.5 games up. I'm sorry, 3.5 games up on the 5th place, which is Denver. So crazy, man. That's a big spread, especially midway through or close to being midway through.
So you're saying that this isn't going to be the 4-5-6 at the end of the season?
Man, I don't know. I don't think, because I think Dallas figures it out. I think Dallas gets in that spot. And the Lakers, they definitely could, but the only team I see falling out of that is the Clippers. I think Denver's going to be fine. Denver will be just fine. I think the Clippers will switch places with one of those teams for sure.
That's interesting because the Mavericks, I mean, they're 5-5 in their last 10, and they've kind of tread water without, you know, Luka Doncic, which I feel like is the best case scenario for what, how the way they've started. Like, they've basically been treading water since they started. And the thing is, we're going to put the burden on Jason Kidd to try to figure this out. Or is it just going to be Luka does Luka and they start to take off? So I'm actually kind of interested by the Mavericks moving up and think that it's possible that they could take over the four seed eventually. I know it's been a lot of Grizz fans have been loving it that the Grizzlies have built a little cushion in their division up on the Mavericks, but I'm not ready to sell off on that because I think the Mavericks are positioned here to make a run because they have just had an unfortunate way the season has started. Not saying I love their team. I don't love their team. I definitely don't love their coach, but they have tread water. They're still in the seventh spot. They're 18-18. And will they go on a run? That's what's going to be interesting about it because the Grizzlies, Nuggets, Clippers, I mean, how fortunate are they with their schedule with other teams also being out in protocols? And that's kind of the weird thing about the season is at the end of the season, we're going to have to try to flesh that out, right? Like, is this a team that is genuinely that good or did they catch a bunch of breaks and get here? And I'm not saying that the Grizzlies are a have benefited from that greatly because they did not have Ja for, you know, 10 to 13 games and they took advantage of that. So it's not like they had a great advantage over teams. They just play better and they're deserving of being the four seed, but especially like the Nuggets. Like the Nuggets is a team that I'm interested by. Like, how long can Jokic do this? We know Jokic can do it, but just the pieces around him keep deteriorating. There has to be some regression, maybe not for Jokic personally, for just the pieces around him as a whole. Like, this just does not feel sustainable that they're a five seed to me. And I don't really want to talk about Portland because they suck, but being at 13-22, yikes. This is not what I thought this team, I thought this team would have some fight at all. And they've been ravaged by health and safety protocols and injuries. Dame hasn't looked right really all year besides a handful of games where his shot has fallen, you know, quote unquote, that people say. I do want to, before we wrap up, talk about the Hornets. I mean, the Hornets, the Houston Rockets. This is where my mind's at. So I'm sorry for people listening. If I feel sporadic and all over the place and all jumbled, my mind is everywhere. I'm trying to get over this, so I apologize. But I do want to talk about what happened last night at the Houston Rockets with Christian Wood and Kevin Porter Jr. Everybody has, you know, there was, I had sent you before the game that there was reports that Christian Wood was not coming out of the locker room and that he was going to be traded. And that started a little bit of Twitter frenzy. And of course, that proved to be false, at least by halftime anyways. But those trade rumors might be back on because how do you feel about Christian Wood and the Houston Rockets situation after what happened last night with Coach John Lucas, longtime coach, well-respected in the NBA by almost everyone who has come encounter with him, going at Christian Wood? Kevin Porter Jr. gets upset, leaves the arena. Christian Wood refuses to check in the second half. What are your thoughts about that? Is this a situation that's done? Would you try to move Christian Wood? Or do you think teams would even want Christian Wood? Is this just a no-win situation? Poor Steven Silas again, and let's let Jalen Green shoot the ball a million times.
Well, I think this is I think situations like this are so tough to talk about because we really don't know what happened beyond, you know, the closed doors and what information they're actually giving us. Because in the end of the day, the information that's coming out is probably information that the team is allowing to get out. So with that being said, it's going to look more favorable to the actual team, to the franchise, and not, you know, and not really for, you know, and, you know, I guess, in favor of the players. And so unless, you know, Kevin Porter Jr. or, you know, Christian Wood comes out and says what really happened, I don't know if we can actually judge this. And that's what kind of sucks about it. But at the end of the day, Christian Wood can be traded. Christian Wood, I hope, gets traded, because this Rockets team is not going a good direction. He is getting a decent salary. He has a good contract. And I think that he can be really good on other teams. But he's also young, and young players do stupid stuff. Kevin Porter Jr. was obviously let go where he was. And is he potentially a hothead? Maybe. Is he Antonio Brown level? No. But he definitely needs to kind of be set down and find a really good organization that has stuff going in the right direction, and not, you know, not someone like the Kings. In all honesty, he doesn't need to be there. He doesn't need to be at the Hornets. He needs to be kind of a veteran-laden team who he can be a good role player. And at the end of the day, I think that's what he needs. This is a young team with a young coach, and this is going to happen. It always does. It never fails that stuff like this happens. So I think that they're both wrong, and I also think they're in a bad situation for the young players, especially if you're really good, because you have to get frustrated. If you're really good and your team sucks, yes, it'd frustrate me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably mostly frustration, if I had to guess. I mean, 1-9 in the last 10. Lose 7 in a row after having kind of a resurgence, quote-unquote, if you would call 10 wins a resurgence, but at least from where they started the season anyways. But if you were a playoff team and the Rockets are just, we've got to get rid of Wood, we can't do this, would you take him? If you were a playoff team, would you take him? Or do you think this is a situation for Christian Wood where it's a team that's on the fringes or maybe lottery bound this year, taking a shot on talent because they really have nothing else going for them? Like, if you're the Charlotte Hornets, is this someone that you're interested by?
A million times.
Really?
Yeah. Why would you not be interested in someone like Christian Wood? Like, this is the player that would put them over the hump. They would actually be a legit playoff contender, like 10 times out of 10. Like, this would make them officially a good team. And I think this is really, that would be a great fit for him, because yes, they are young, and but they also have, you know, someone who, you know, like Hayward, who's there and can actually help them and kind of stabilize a lot of their issues. They seem to get along with each other. There's no issues there where people are fighting. So 100%, I think that they should easily go after him if available.
Wow, that's crazy. Do you think that would put the Hornets specifically over the hump and make them a contender?
No, I said a playoff team.
Oh, okay. I'll have to go back and listen to that, because I'm pretty sure you said playoff contender. Well, that's so what I mean. I'll have to confirm that.
That's what I mean. A playoff contender is someone who is contending for the playoffs, not contending for the championship. They're not a championship contender by no means.
Okay, we have different definitions, but
and he's only making $14 million
this
a year.
I know this was kind of all over the. Yeah, it's a cheaper by standard salaries, but he's, look at where he's been, the Pistons and the Rockets. So I don't know. Maybe it would be. I think you'd have to be kind of in a dire, not dire is probably a bad way to say that, but I think you'd have to be kind of a middling franchise to actually want to take a shot on Christian Wood, if that makes sense. And not saying he's a bad player. I think a lot of teams have kind of soured on him from how he's handled the Houston experience. And I'm not sure there would be a lot of players at that age being, you know, labeled as the best player who would handle it any better, honestly. But you're right. You made a great point at the beginning of that when you started, is that we just don't know. We just have reports and what we've seen, and we don't really know what happened. So I guess we'll just kind of leave it at that. Do you have, I know this has been all over the place and I'm getting back into form. I'll be much better and more prepared next week and not so broken up and all this stuff. But do you have anything else you want to plug before we go for this week, or Grizz 901 rocking, bet the lead? Like, what's going on in your world since I last talked to you?
Yep. So much happening right now. I am a busy person. but it has been very good. The Lead Sports Media is still rocking. You can follow them over on Twitter at the Lead SM, which is really cool. But also, you know, the Grizz 901. If you are a Grizzlies fan, you're listening to this, go check out us over there. It's just, I guess, put in your podcast search, Grizz 901. We'll pull up right there. We have a very cool interview coming up. So if you're listening to this on a Monday, as long as Desmond Bain does not enter health and safety protocols, I will be releasing his former, I guess, coach, his former college coach, Jamie Dixon, the head coach of the TCU Horned Frogs. That is Horned Frogs. One of the best mascots there is in college. But he is, we had an interview with him. It's about 20 minutes long. So we'll be releasing that today. If you're hearing this, and hopefully he doesn't, because the last one I did, which has been our best podcast to date, was the head coach of Purdue Fort Wayne, which is really cool. And then the day I release it, John Conchar, that's who played there, he went into health and safety protocol. So I do not want to be two for two, but it has been my best podcast so far over at Grizz 901. And the last thing I do have is that if you know what Twitter Spaces is, 5:30 on Wednesday, we are going live for Bet the Lead. If you like to gamble, if you like to dabble in the gambling world of the basketball in general, the NBA, then you will enjoy that. We're going to go live. It will be me and Trey for sure. We're hoping to talk Ryan into it. I'm not sure his schedule just yet, but we're going to try to do that. And we're going to put out our best bets for the upcoming games, but also answer questions from fans, anybody else who has questions. So go follow us over at Bet the Lead.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the Grizz 901, because I really enjoyed that episode with Jenny's head coach, John Kaufman. That was a lot of fun. And I'm sad I missed that one, because I would have really enjoyed just, I would have steered it into just general basketball talk instead of talking about John Conchar, but he was awesome. So that was a great guest. So looking forward to
Jamie Dixon.
Yeah. Looking forward to Jamie Dixon. Thank you. Sorry. That's where I'm at right now. But yeah, that's us. Part of the Lead Podcast Network 2022. Hopefully we'll get Cody back. We're getting revved up for the All-Star Weekend coming up. Trade season. Maybe we'll get some interesting trades. Who knows? Hopefully nothing breaks by tomorrow. But Daniel, it was good to be back on, sir. And I'll probably see you maybe Wednesday. We'll see. If not, next Monday. So everyone have a good week. Hope everyone stays safe and not sick. We also, if you are in Memphis listening to this, you also were part of the Random Snow Blizzard 2022 is what I'm calling it. Hope everyone stays safe in that. We'll see you guys. Have a good rest of the week. See you guys next Monday.